Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Sans Pants Radio.
I am Turok!
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm also Joel.
And today, to celebrate 100 years of Thumb Cramps, we're going to be looking at 100 years of gaming, starting from 1995 to present.
We did it.
100 years.
Centennial. 100 years of video games, 100 years of Thumb Cramps, mm-hmm. and 100 reviews.
Yeah. 100 reviews, one review a year, as we promised in the first ever episode of Thumb Cramps. It's a yearly podcast.
Yeah.
That's the rule. That's what we've just told you you'd get, and that's what you did get.
So I feel, even though we are professional video game reviewers and that we've been doing this for 100 years, and I know that video games is a very subjective thing. Like, you know,
yes,
you can look at a game and be like, this is amazing and I had a good time with it. And someone might be like, I played the same game and it was dog shit. And we get that. So
that's okay.
I think it's a good barometer is best-selling games.
Money never lies, baby.
I mean, you can't have a successful game that was bad. Like, if it was a top-selling... Yeah. Like for a while, Avatar was the best movie. Objectively and subjectively.
Rightfully so.
And now it's Endgame. That is the best movie ever made. The best book ever made is probably Harry Potter 4 or something. I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Citizen Kane, basically, trash when you compare it to Endgame.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like this is obvious for the people listening. Like, they all agree. But it's good to reiterate it, you know?
Yeah,
if a game doesn't sell well, it's not a good game. Do you remember Glover? No, didn't sell well. Throw it in the bin. Screw Glover off, you know? We don't need it.
Yeah. So with that said, we're going to be looking at the best games of the last 100 years. And in 1995, the best game was Mortal Kombat 3.
Ooh.
Okay. So, that's interesting.
Yeah, an interesting start. So obviously it is the wildly successful sequel to Mortal Kombat 2. A video game that took video games by storm.
Yep. Which is also the wildly successful sequel to Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that's true.
So Mortal Kombat came out of obviously a period of time where video games had gotten a bit soft. They were worried that the Street Fighter 2s of the world weren't showing people getting decapitated enough.
The dicks of the world were limpening, and the Mortal Kombat franchise was like, we got to rigid up these wieners.
Now, I was quite young when Mortal Kombat 1 came about, but wasn't there some sort of, maybe this one of the starts of, like, say, the console wars, as it were, of, like, which perhaps which console is better? Because some versions of Mortal Kombat had Kano in it, others did not. I don't remember why.
I believe it's Mortal Kombat 2 is that one, which happened on between the Sega or Sega. I can't remember which one is the one that gets people to yell at me less.
Cigar!
Sogo.
The Cigar Sogo Master Drive.
Hey, welcome welcome to my speakeasy. Yeah. How about you smoke a cigar? And they're like, oh, a cigar? But no. Yeah, I want you to light a Sega system on fire. You're in the mafia now, kid.
Yeah, now
what's
play
happening?
Some Sonic.
Is this a dream? Who can say? Sonic the Hedgehog on the cigar.
The Mega Drive had blood and the Super Nintendo did not. So everyone was like, we hate you, Super Nintendo. Sega does what Nintendo don't. Yeah. I'm Sonic. Phew!
That's annoying. That's that it was Sega said. Does what it was Sega does what Nintendo don't, not Sega does what Nintendo doesn't. That's how I would have phrased that. Just saying. You instead of rubbing your brow, douche, like you couldn't be more sick of talking to me. Like, Jackson, it's been years. You can't change it now.
Jackson, if we had a time machine, we'd all go back and change it.
Okay? Deed's done. Move on. Hey, do we think, is this a controversial statement? There are enough Mortal Kombats.
Yeah.
We're full.
There's currently 11.
Yeah, that's heaps.
Plus,
we're good.
Plus the spin-offs like Shaolin Sub-Zero Monks. Adventures or something.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying that the games aren't good, but we're that's plenty. You know, that's more than anyone could ask for.
It's weird because Mortal Kombat has, 11 main titled games. Mm. Super Smash Brothers, the other big fighting game, that's only got five.
Yeah, and that's not enough, frankly. Right.
More Smash Bros.
I think every fighting game should get 10 fighting games, and then they can stop. Then that's enough.
Well,
that's more than enough. That's a meal.
When was the last time you guys checked in on Mortal Kombat lore?
I've always been a Tekken boy, so I don't know. Everyone has the same outfit in Mortal Kombat. I don't like it.
Jackson's like, yeah, I want to play as that bear.
Yeah, if I'm not that's cool. Or you can be a kangaroo, or a guy with a cheetah head or mask. It's unclear.
King,
but
it's a mask. Yeah.
Well, that's disappointing.
I think. Maybe it's not. He roars.
Yeah,
I was confident and now I'm not.
You don't know.
I used to play Mortal Kombat, maybe not a lot. I mean, I think I used to watch my older brother play Mortal Kombat a lot because I was a young little baby boy and I wasn't allowed games with blood. But I could still watch someone else do it, which was great. So I kind of remember playing the one where it's like a platformer where it's Scorpion and maybe Kung Lao. And I think there was maybe a TV series. I definitely watched the Christopher Lambert movie of Mortal Kombat, which I don't care what anyone says. Great film.
I'm sure.
I found out that Liu Kang is a zombie or maybe undead or something like that.
Yeah.
Wasn't he the Mortal hero Kombat, for a bit?
Yeah, so
Who
Mortal Kombat, he won the first Mortal Kombat, yes.
Lucky.
Mortal Kombat's lore kind of changes because Mortal Kombat 9 is a reboot because Raiden is about to get killed in a fight and his last power is to reverse time or something or to possess his younger body. So it's like a soft reboot in the worst way.
Okay. I think maybe I've come around to maybe you only get a limited amount number in your series because then you get convoluted bullshit
exactly.
that. Also, hey, hi,
I'm
quick
a big
question.
Fan, actually.
How does the Terminator come into it, lore-wise? Also, Spawn.
Time travel and the power of heaven.
Okay.
And more time travel.
Yep.
Time travel, the power of heaven, and more time travel.
That's how those three characters get in. Hellboy is in Soul Calibur. Don't know how to explain that.
So is Link.
I think he's in Soul Calibur. Wait a second.
Link must have got lost.
Yeah, Hellboy. Oh, maybe I don't know where Hellboy is. Anyway, he's around.
Books. So Mortal Kombat 3, that's the Mortal Kombat that I don't know super well. It's hard to find on Super Nintendo in Australia. Has lots of characters. It's like one of the first Mortal Kombats to just have heaps of characters. But as Jackson pointed out, they all look the same. So
they're the same guy, basically. Who cares? Let's move
thumbs.
On to 1996. Yeah, one thumb because I don't have any time for it.
1996. Wow, everyone's favorite Super Mario 64.
Oh, that's a classic.
Never played it.
That's not shocking. For some reason, that checks out. I can't imagine you investing the time for some reason.
Great news, Joel Zammit. Today is the day that the Super Mario 3D All-Stars re-release thing happens. So when everyone's listening to this episode, if they just pull up their Switch and go to new releases, it's right there. So if you too haven't played Super Mario 64, Mm-hmm. Or Super Mario Sunshine or Super Mario Galaxy. They're all there. Are they good? You'll have to wait until next week's episode when we review them, because we haven't played them yet. Well,
I haven't played any of those three, so look, I might give 64 a burl.
Hell yeah.
Because it was something that I'm like, I probably should get it. Like, but I bought a 64 later than when it first came out. Do you remember when the Australian superstar swimmer Michael Kilm?
Whatever the bald question guy, is, no.
And then when so Nintendo 64 did like a limited run of 64s, and they were like, you get a gold controller, and it was Michael Swimboy.
Kilm.
He being like, I won gold in the Olympics. Have a gold controller. And I'm like, I want that gold controller.
And, you want it to be one with Michael Kilm.
Yeah.
I get it, dude.
And then I basically, you know, complained to my parents and was like, please, can I have a 64? And they finally relented and went out and purchased one for me as the limited edition had ended. So I never got that
tragic,
gold controller.
Dude. That sucks. That's so sad.
That's interesting, because if you hadn't bought Super Mario 64, you could have collected 120 gold items, and those gold items are stars.
Don't do shit. As someone...
Silver boy here.
Yeah. Who's also played Super Mario 64, favorite level. Favorite Super Mario 64 level.
Oh, I know that your favorite level will be the one where you can be big or very little.
Shockingly, no. It's TikTok clock or whatever. Clockwork clock? Whatever. People hate it, but I always loved it. Jumping around inside a clock? Sign me up!
Okay, no, that makes sense, because you're inside a clock, which is big, and you're little.
Yeah, you are little, definitely.
Yeah.
Isn't there one where you're going on your tum-tum racing a penguin down ice?
That's good as well.
That's not a whole level, but that's like one of the things you have to do to get a star,
Okay.
TikTok clock had good vibes, man.
Yeah, that's a great question, and... You know what? I really, really like the first level, Bob on Battlefield.
It is good.
It's just like, when I think of Super Mario 64, I think of that level.
Mm. No, that is nice. I also liked the one in the painting of Satan's face, or Bowser's face.
Yeah, Bowser, Satan, interchangeable. Both, you know, both turned away from heaven and went to hell.
In the Garden of Eden, Mario and Peach, naked as the day they were born, and Lakitu, i.e. God, was like, Don't eat the mushroom. And Bowser was like, wah, 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 wah. And then Peach did and was like, oh no. And then they got kicked out of the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they had heaps of kids which had kids with themselves and bada bing, bada boom, humanity.
Yeah. That's how we get shy guys. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, dude. The mushroom kingdom creation myth is not complicated.
Why do you think they're so shy? They know they're sinning.
Yeah, exactly. Mario is always trying to get back to Eden. Duh. Read between the lines. Just
wake
saying.
Up, sheeple. Come
on. Yeah, wake up, sheeple. Come on. Christ.
But yeah,
Luigi's Christ, obviously. No doubt. The brother of Adam, as in the Bible. Super Mario 64 is a great game. I'm unsure if I've ever actually finished it. I, as I think I've mentioned before on the podcast, had a 64 but no games. But my neighbors had games, and so more likely I watched them finish it and played it a little. But it was good.
Finished it on both Nintendo 64 and on DS, but I never got all 120 stars. I just killed Bowser.
Nor I. Yeah.
Violence was the victory. The key to my win. Yeah, you know, you get it. You're there.
Hey, here's a rumor that I remembered recently about Super Mario 64 that it isn't true, but I had always assumed it was because I never got all the stars. So, you know, on the castle, there's the big stained glass window of Peach.
Yes.
So did you, as a kid, also hear the rumor that you could fire yourself into it with the cannon that puts you on the roof where you see Yoshi, and it's like a secret bonus level? Because that was a rumor that... In my school, everyone was like, oh, yeah. And because I guess we were all dumb shit kids, none of us were ever going to get all the stars. So we all just believed it. And I never questioned it.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
I heard Yoshi does, like, pop up when you...
Oh, Yoshi's on the roof. But there's a stained glass window of Peach that I heard you could fire yourself into, like the paintings that are the levels. And it would take you to, like, Peach's secret house or whatever.
Yeah.
How does that happen? You know, like, how does that happen? Like, through so many non-connected, like, schoolyards, like pre-internet.
Yeah. Well, there is one level, there's one room in the castle that has all of these stained glass windows of Peach, and if you go in one of them, it's like a slide level. So maybe some kid sees the big stained glass window of Peach and like it's almost like a logical step, but then nobody ever does it to confirm its truth or
That's
lack of thereof.
That's sick, though, because if that rumor started at my school, it would have been like, dude, you know, if you shoot yourself into that stained glass window, you go to a secret level where Peach sucks you off.
Dude, no, for real? Keys.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god!
You see full tits. That's all I'm saying.
Oh my
god! And they look so lifelike.
Yeah, dude, they look real.
All 64 bits, bruh.
Well, that actually reminds me real quick while we're talking about schoolyard rumors that had absolutely no grounds in reality. So I remembered, due to the Tony Hawk and Jackass revival that's happening entirely inside my brain, I remembered that when I was like 11, that Jackass had been cancelled because Wee Man had drowned getting in a washing machine as a joke.
Whoa, I remember that too. Wow, that was a rumor. That just... Damn! Why? What a cruel rumor. Wee Man's a person. That's messed up.
He's the happiest one, too. He's always the one having a good time. Wholesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't kill him off in fantasies.
Yeah, that's messed up. Wee Man's relationship with the rest of the Jackass crew is genuinely so lovely. That rumor's so mean. I love Wee Man.
Me too.
Damn. Damn. Well, great. That was 1996. Wee Man, Five Thumbs, Super Mario,
and Wee Man. What a good time. Then we pop over to 1997, and then another Mario game reigning supreme. Remember, top selling of the year, Mario Kart 64. Back-to-back champion.
Great
96,
game.
97 champion, Mario.
Like his name's
back
in the films.
Back-to-back, baby.
Mario and Luigi Mario.
Hey, contra opinion about any game where you can pick between the cast of Mario characters.
Yeah.
Yoshi is for wieners. If you pick Yoshi, you're a wiener. It's true.
Yeah, Yoshi
he's
is
not
the
a guy.
Most
he's just an animal.
Wiener. Yeah, it's the most wiener pick.
Yeah, it sucks. Don't pick Yoshi.
Best
Yoshi.
Pick Wario or
Donkey
DK.
Kong.
Donkey Kong.
Yes, yeah, exactly. We both knew. We did. Yeah. That was at the same time. Wario and Donkey Kong, God tier.
Yes.
Mario, Wario, Donkey Kong, God tier. What else you got? Toad, Luigi, mid tier. Peach. Toad, Luigi, Peach, mid tier. Mm-hmm. Mario. Is that it? Who else is in?
There's heaps of other guys.
Mario, Yoshi, lower tier, wiener tier.
I would say Yoshi is below Mario. Mario is like your default. There is no
that's true.
Mario is beige on beige.
Yeah, it's true. But it's not like actively bad. Yeah. No.
I just want to go on record and say that it is an absolute crime that we are yet to get Goombas as a playable character in any of these games.
Mm. Yeah, that does suck.
Yeah, Goomba, God tier.
No Mario Kart Goombas, no Smash Bros. Goombas. Imagine how fun a Goomba would be to play.
Incredible. Bowser. I forgot Bowser. Bowser is mid tier. Obviously.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah. He's a worse Donkey Kong.
Yeah,
exactly.
Bowser is the kind of, like, the guy who picks Bowser and he's like, I'm always playing Bowser, he's trying a bit too hard.
Yeah, it's a bit much. Mm. But it's no Yoshi. Yoshi's for wieners. That's life. Sorry. Sorry to burst your bubble, Yoshi heads, but he's a wiener character. Worse in Super Mario Kart or any Mario Kart game than maybe Smash or even Mario Party, but still, nevertheless.
Now, Yoshi, I think, in Mario Party is probably the biggest wiener choice.
That's fair.
Controversial opinion, maybe, but I feel if you're playing Mario Party and you automatically go to Yoshi, you're the wiener.
Mm. You're the wiener.
The wiener of the party.
Yeah.
So, look, good course design. It's nowhere near as good as the later Mario Kart games, but there's a lot of nostalgia attached to it. So it's probably a four thumbs and a knock for me.
I remember really liking Mario Kart 64. I would say, four thumbs and a knock for me as well. Actually, I think I preferred Mario Kart 64 to some of the other like Mario Karts that come out later. Like, I did not really care for the Mario Kart on the Switch, personally.
Nah, Mario Kart on the Switch rules.
I enjoy it too, but hey, that's okay. Different strokes, baby, different strokes.
Jackson, so out of all three of us, two of us have played Mario Kart on the Switch on an aeroplane that's taking off. and been unable to control it properly because the airplane is literally taking off. And one of us hasn't. And it's weird that the two people that have experienced what is maybe the... It's an event that would have killed the caveman, and we've lived it. Neanderthals would not have stood a chance.
No. Their tiny pea brains would have popped like a tiny grape and leaked out their eyes, and we would have looked over and been like, well, we're going to win the race now.
Yeah, we're having a great time.
Og has died, and we will win the flower cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Five thumbs.
Five thumbs. Five thumbs for playing a Mario Kart game as a plane's taking off because the air hostess hasn't told you to turn off your Switch for some reason, even though you absolutely should have.
Exactly how Nintendo intended Mario Kart to be played.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Now, we're moving on to close to the turn of the century here. We're 1998, and top-selling game, the best game, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Masterpiece.
What a beautiful game that I've played both on the 64 and a 3DS. What a great time. Please port it to the Switch. I'll pay for that game a third time. It's a joy.
I've bought it a criminal amount of times. Mm. I own it on 64. I owned it on the Virtual Console on the Wii. I have it on 3DS. I think I might have bought it on something else too.
Vinyl. I don't know.
Yeah.
Some guy said it was it, and I'm like, yeah, sure.
Paid a man to tell you the plot. You know, whatever.
And that's talking about finally Zammit getting his gold-plated things, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time was a gold cartridge. And I could not have been happier, although it did remind me that I had this out on a gold-plated 64 controller.
What a thing that it's so sad that we lost when we moved from cartridges to discs, to compact discs. The colored cartridge felt so good.
I know.
The yellow Donkey Kong 64 one, the... what red something one. One of them was red. Was that Spider-Man Web of Carnage or something was red? Anyway,
one of the
Spider-Man felt great.
Games is red. You've got Pokemon Stadium 2, which is gold and silver.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And Jackson. Yeah. There's a black cartridge on Nintendo 64 too.
There sure is, baby.
A little game called Turok 2. Ooh.
Maybe you've heard of it.
I am Turok.
Yeah. My god.
So, look, Ocarina of Time, it's perfect. It still holds up, holds up better than most games from, that era, I feel. People say Final Fantasy VII's better sometimes, and I say, shut up.
If you're choosing Final Fantasy VII over Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, once again, you are the same kind of person that probably chooses Yoshi and are, in fact, a wiener.
Yeah, that's wiener talk. It's true.
Final Fantasy VII is definitely a weird game, but I think that as a modern audience, if you haven't played either of them, I don't know why I'm saying this on this podcast, but if you haven't played either of them, Ocarina of Time still feels like a game that is fun to play now, where Final Fantasy VII is overwhelming in some of its choices.
Yeah. I think there's a good barometer here, JD, so if you were to say remake Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, you know, what would they add or take away? Or would it probably just kind of be the game as is, but with updated graphics? When they remade Final Fantasy VII.
Different game.
Was that a whole big overhaul?
Yeah.
So I don't know about what that says about which game, you know, lasting the test of time.
Here's what I know.
Ocarina of Time.
Yeah. One of those games, if I played it, it would kill me.
It would be
medically damaging to me. And the other one is Ocarina of Time. So
Jackson,
I know what I'm going to pick.
I also have something. So one of these games is the best-selling game of 1998. And the other one that is not mentioned. So
exactly. Doesn't come up. Money never lies.
Ocarina of Time is the better game.
Yep. Yeah. Five thumbs all around.
I've never finished it. Still five thumbs. Yep. Now, moving on to 1999, let's talk about this.
Just quickly, Jackson.
Yeah.
1998, Ocarina of Time. You should really finish it because I think that you will really, your rat brain will enjoy that fight with Ganondorf.
I think rat brain would, yeah. My rat brain's primed for stuff like that because rats are good at fighting bigger opponents. So
yeah,
I'd get into the rat zone, I think.
Ganondorf throws stuff at you and you got to hit it back at him with a sword. That's good.
Just like a rat, dude. Yeah. Just like when I'm throwing stuff at a rat at my house and it throws it back at me and I'm like, I'm Ganon in this situation. Ocarina Year of Rat. Whoa.
maybe they could remake it like that.
Ocarina of Rat's so funny because it's not like Rat of Time. It's like Ocarina of Time, except that the ocarina just summons rats. Like, play the Song of Rats. Consumed. Like, you've ruined our town.
All right.
But he can't even respond.
The last video game before Y2K. So this is a best-selling game the year before technology turns on us and kills us all.
Mm-hmm,
1999, what is the best-selling game? I don't have the list in front of me. Someone's going to have to tell me.
Donkey Kong 64.
That's a game we've... Oh, banana. That's a game I've reviewed on this show.
Uh-huh.
And I was not kind to it, because no one should be. The only good thing that Donkey Kong 64 did for humanity was introduce Lanky Kong to the Kong canon.
What without about the DK yellow cartridge?
Yeah, and the yellow cartridge was great. And the DK rap is good. But the game itself blows chunks. It's no good.
It gave Donkey Kong a gun.
That is good, yes. And it Chunky Kong a bazooka, yeah.
Have you, Jackson and Zammit, but also you, the wider audience, seen the original version of Donkey Kong where they hadn't given him a coconut gun yet and he just has a shotgun?
Yeah, a regular gun. I wish I was playing that version of Donkey Kong.
Seeing Donkey Kong hold a gun, it's intimidating.
It's frightening. Here's something I think is a crime. Lanky Kong was introduced in Donkey Kong 64, and unlike Funky Kong, unlike Chunky Kong, unlike Tiny, unlike, you know, the rest of these Kongs, Lanky Kong has never made a subsequent appearance, and I don't know what that's about. He's iconic, and yet he's ignored by... Put Lanky Kong in Smash, baby! Come on!
I think most of the characters in this don't reappear ever. But
I think Chunky Kong does.
Maybe. Chunky Kong, I mean... Tiny doesn't, because they usually just use Dixie.
No, Tiny Kong... Oh, maybe that's Dixie. Chunky Kong... Maybe Chunky Kong just does only appear in Donkey Kong 64. That's so sad.
They made a lot of apes for this. These apes sold well, and then they forgot the apes. They're forbidden apes.
They forgot the apes.
The Kongs.
They forgot the apes. The Kong.
They should make a Smash Bros. Kong,
Kong DLC
pack.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. Lanky Kong's designed to play, like, Dalism, basically.
Yeah.
You know? He's got the long reach, he's got the little feet for kicking. Lanky Kong, he's got a terrifying clown nose for reasons that are unclear. Man. He was in Donkey Kong Barrel Blast, so... Just saying.
So, Donkey Kong 64, camera is bad.
Mm-hmm.
It is that era of platforming where we got too cocky at how good we could be at making platforming games, so we started making them too big and putting too much stuff in them. The Banjo-Tooie curse, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. This is when we decided for some reason, that every game should only be dedicated to collecting, and that we should introduce complicated mechanics for how you collect those items.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was exciting at the time, but it has not aged well.
I do remember enjoying it, and I think it because it came out for us like around that school holiday, kind of like around that era, and it was sort of like I got it for like around my birthday, Christmas. So I do remember like that particular summer for us was like spent a lot of the time playing Donkey Kong 64. And I remember enjoying it, but again, I was a dumb baby child. So
it's one of those games that in the 90s felt good to play because it was new and fresh and there was a lot of characters and a lot of stuff to do. But now when you go back,
you had
and
a
play
monkey
it,
with a gun.
Monkey
gun. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think
one thing that we are forgetting to mention that is just as important, if not more important, than the yellow cartridge is that Donkey Kong 64 came with the expansion pack for the Nintendo 64, which encouraged you to take your guts out of your console and put new guts in.
Yeah, that's true.
Jackson's just changed his Zoom background to Lanky Kong.
A really zoomed in, upsetting drawing of him. Did Donkey Kong 64 come with a rumble pack as well? Was it a rumble packer?
I don't believe so.
Oh, I thought
no,
it was.
No, that
some
was
reason.
The Star Fox one.
Oh, yeah, Lilat was.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, look, Donkey Kong 64 was a dog shit game, and it remains a dog shit game. Please don't remake it for the Switch.
Or if you're going to remake it, do the Final Fantasy VII kind of way of doing it and kind of redo it.
Yeah,
my
and make it
is that if
huge.
You remade it.
Yeah.
My theory is if you remade it, you just need to make the camera works better, and then all of a sudden the game would be fine.
And give you the ability to change Kong on the fly, and you'd be gold. No need for a barrel or whatever.
It's gonna be gold. Well, now we're turning into the year 2000. Y2K has happened. Planes fell from the sky.
Yeah. Fridges killed
everyone.
People.
Freaked out. Maybe there was a meteor. Who knows?
Every calculator caught fire. It was a crazy time to be alive. Yeah. Before we get to 2000, though, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back, sponsors. The year is a year 2000 still. wow.
And the best game for the year 2000 was Pokemon Stadium.
Hell yes.
Pokemon Stadium. Now, if we are going to be talking shit about an old game, let's talk shit about this game. The game that let you do nothing.
What do you mean, let you do nothing?
Oh, wow, my Pokemon are 3D.
Yeah.
Sick.
Look. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, every Pokemon that you could pick in your party in this, you couldn't customize its moves, and everything was level 50.
You could if you uploaded your own Pokemon, doofus.
That's yeah, but then that's not this game.
That's how they intended to play it. Just like how Nintendo intended you to play Mario Kart on a taking off plane, they intended you to play this with your Pokemons.
Exactly. And can you? The announcer was the best part. He never seemed that interested in what was happening. I always appreciated that. You know.
And what about the horrible mini games?
Yeah, the mini games were
eats
great.
Sushi.
The one where you've got to match Clefairy's. It's just Simon Says. Hilarious. The amount of good times I had playing Pokemon Stadium that I'll never get back. My God. I never played Pokemon Stadium 2, though, but I always wished that I could.
One interesting thing about this, though, is this list hasn't had a single PS1 game, even though PlayStation 1's, I always thought, sold way, way, way better than the Nintendo 64.
That's true.
Who are we to question Business Insider's great journalistic integrity? So moving on to 2001, we have Madden NFL 2002.
Hell yeah. For the PlayStation 2, GameCube, Xbox, PC, Game Boy Color, Nintendo 64, and the Game Boy Advance.
I wonder how this one sold so well.
Yeah. Wow. Was this the first time you were ever able to play Gridiron on a video game? Is that what it was?
Actually, Jackson, I know the answer to that one.
Yeah.
So the Madden series was a very, very, very big part of Sega's push against Nintendo when they launched the Mega Drive. So Sega of America had a business plan to take down Nintendo, and one of them was secure more sports games. And the way they went about it was securing the license of John Madden, because he's an absolute lunatic.
Oh, that's good. And it worked, clearly.
It did. Yeah, well, it was a best-selling game of 2001. The game called Madden 2002.
That is incredible. Have either of you boys ever played Madden 2001?
No, I've played NFL Street, and I think that's the only NFL game I've ever played. Sure hope there's no more Madden games on this, because
I have watched the complete entirety of Friday Night Lights, but I have not seen the film.
Fair.
That's probably a 3 thumbs from Zaman and probably a 2 thumbs from me.
Yeah, I'll give that a 5 thumb because the people seem to like it. So.
Also, Pokemon Stadium gets 1 thumb and a knock from me. Sorry.
Pokemon Stadium gets 4 thumbs from me. Donkey Kong 64 gets 1 thumb. Maybe a negative thumb. Maybe I bite off my own thumbs so I could never review it again. 2002. What are we talking?
Oh, we're talking, man, the game that changed it all. Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Oh,
PS2. In America.
Spoilers, but this is the last dance for Lance Vance. Am I right, fellas?
GTA Vice City was a game I never played any of the story mode of because my tiny child brain couldn't fathom it. But damn, did I drive around a lot. And also, there was that one cheat that let you look like any other person, like any NPC. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the amount of times I would just change model and go around massacring people, my God, what a game.
And I think Vice City was great. I love Vice City. Was Vice City the one where you could get a ice cream van and sell drugs? Was that that one?
I don't know.
That sounds like it could be San Andreas.
Yeah. I liked in Vice City that there was the Dodo, which was like a plane that didn't quite work.
I love that build. That plane was, that ruled.
The plane with no wings. Time.
Seeing how far you could get in it, my God. Talk about a great game. Great soundtrack. Yeah. Remake it. They will.
Grand Theft Auto games have never been super my jam. But I like this one because it looks silly.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Good. I think I've played it again on the
iPad.
The iPad, yeah. And it's weirdly like the Grand Theft Auto of those eras work really well on the iPad. I highly recommend it. If you've never played them and you do have an iPad, just grab them. They're a lot of fun and they do port quite well.
Yeah. I really liked Grand Theft Auto 3. And then when Vice City came out, I was like, I miss Grand Theft Auto 3. I don't know why. Vice City's definitely a better game. But here we are.
Doesn't give you the same level of warm nostalgia.
Exactly.
For some reason, I always think the protagonist of this game's name is Tommy Versace, even though I know it is not.
It's like, it's Tommy, though. It's definitely Tommy.
I was pretty close.
So while I guess the world was like, we loved our football, but we know we love more drugs and violence. Mm-hmm. So in 2002, there was a bit of a debauchery for everyone involved. And then in the next year, 2003, we decided, we like football wrong. Again. So for the best game of 2003, it's Madden NFL 2004.
And what consoles was that available on?
The PlayStation 2, GameCube, Xbox, PC, and the Game Boy Advance.
Man, that rules.
Really ramming that through.
Yeah, what kind of awesome jock is playing Madden 2003 for the Game Boy Advance? What situation is that?
On the
that
bus
rules.
To his football trip. Because on set of Friday Night Lights, maybe?
Yeah. He's like, I wake up in the morning, I watch the football. It's in the morning for this kid.
I watch a VHS of it.
Yeah. And then I chuck on my GameCube and I play it for an hour. Then I get on the bus on my GBA. I play Madden 2004. Get off, do actual real life football. Go to class. Don't pay attention. You're a jock. Don't need to.
No, you don't need to. Why would you? The only way you're going to get good of playing the football and doing sweet snaps is first off practice, which you're doing a lot of, and then to kind of like rest, and in your downtime you need to be playing more of football, and the best way to do that is Madden on any number of console.
That's the way to live.
Now,
all right.
I guess after we loved our football for 2 months, it seems to be like a bit of a back and forth here between guns, violence, drugs, and football. because in 2004, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas once again reigned supreme
on
the PlayStation 2. So
I remember this game just changing everyone's life.
It did. It was all of a sudden I was like, what aren't video games capable of doing? I had a friend whose house I would go to solely to play San Andreas. And he would be like, I hate that you come to my house not to hang out with me, but to play San Andreas. And I was like, yeah. What's the cheat that gives me a helicopter? Yeah. How do I get in this combine harvester? The fact that I can get into a combine harvester has blown my little rat brain. What do I do next?
Nothing. How fat can I get?
Yeah.
Apes?
What? If I eat enough burgers, it changes my guy? That's incredible.
I remember also just being at school and like finding out that local retailers in Australia had broken street date, so like San Andreas was on sale a couple of days early. I remember kids going home early from school to try and pick this up.
Yeah.
That rules.
We truly couldn't believe that a game was capable of what San Andreas was capable of.
Yeah, also one of the games that kind of helped shape Australia's video game industry because, yeah, Australia used to break street dates all the time, and San Andreas was when everyone cracked down and was like, hey, Australia, stop doing that, you dog-shit idiots.
Oh, come on!
Okay.
It's one of the games that changed our rating system as well because we were like, yeah, this one's... MA, I guess, and everyone was like, are you sure? Because it's pretty full on. And we're like, yeah, we can't go higher than that, otherwise we have to ban it. And everyone's like,
yeah,
okay,
we don't believe in over 18 games in Australia for a bit because of that piece of shit senator in South Australia. I forget his name. That goddamn...
Yeah.
Dog shit Anderson. That's what his new name is.
Yeah.
We've renamed him. Yeah. San Andreas, 5 thumbs. An incredible game.
Changed
so many good
games.
Memories.
Yeah, 5 thumbs for me too.
Me and Ryder, my brother, getting it, chucking on the aggressive NPCs mod, chucking on the mist mod, being like, gotta get to Mount Chiliad, baby, and it played like a zombie survival game. Oh my god, great times. Love it.
So now 05. We're moving on to 05, and once again we're like, alright, boys, put down the guns and drugs. And pick up that pigskin, because we're back to Madden NFL 06 for the PlayStation 2, Xbox, Xbox 360, GameCube, PC, Windows Mobile, PlayStation Portable, Game Boy Advance, Nintendo DS, and mobile phone, baby.
What is the difference between Windows Mobile and a mobile... What? What is Windows Mobile?
Also, important to note here that the Madden 2004 that came out in 2003 wasn't released on PC from that list that you read out, but this one was.
Amazing.
They wanted to tackle the Master Race PC gamers, the Master Race mobile gamers, the Master Race DS gamers.
And look, the Madden train did not slow down because in 2006, Madden NFL 07 for the PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, Xbox, Xbox 360, GameCube, Nintendo Wii, PC, PlayStation Portable, Game Boy Advance, and Nintendo DS was the best game of 2006. And
do you think
can argue with that?
Do you think anybody played all of them for like that? All those consoles, or do you think if they did, they would have ascended and we'd never know? They're in heaven now.
So I think everyone like for almost two straight years of just throwing around the football have realized that their arms are quite tired, and so now for 2007, we need to put down the football and pick up the guitar for Guitar Hero 3 Legends of Rock for the PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, Xbox, Xbox 360, Wii, Microsoft Windows, and the Mac OS X. It's sort of crazy how they just really went through like a splatter shot of every console possible there.
Yeah.
This is the moment in video games where the king of the castle, the jock, was taken down by the band kid. As ruler of the video game war ground, all of a sudden, band kids reign supreme for at least 2 years.
For a couple. And then, you know, you always know that one person whose controller was a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really got into the Guitar Hero fad. And I kind of thought it was for, like, you know, big wieners.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion has yet to change.
Yes.
Seeing anyone be good at a Guitar Hero with a guitar controller. I mean, look, it's very impressive finger work. Yes, they would probably be maybe pretty decent fingering.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I gotta think so. I gotta assume so. Yeah.
So,
Wiener.
I got a bit of a theory here.
Yeah. Okay. Hit me up.
So, Guitar Hero was kind of like, I guess, edgy and alternative in its song choices.
Sure.
And starting in, like, the early 2000s, so things like CKY and Jackass combined music, like, heavier music, with skateboarding. Skateboarding, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Heavier music was a bit nerdy, but they tried to make it cooler. Well, they didn't try. It was just the stuff that they liked.
Yeah.
Because Jackass was for nobody, just themselves, and it just got successful. And that's the magic of Jackass.
That is true.
So I think that when Guitar Hero 3 came out, you've got like these people that are like skaters and stuff like that being like, ah, oh, cool, I can play like heavier songs, I guess, pretend I'm playing guitar, mess around with my friends. And then you've got the wiener kids who are coming up being like, ah, oh, yes, pressing buttons in rhythm, that's good.
I
for
think
my
it
big
was
wiener brain.
The, when they were like, here's a video game based on sport, jocks were like, finally a video game for me. And then when they were like, here's a video game based on music, you know, band kids or whatever, or even skaters, whatever, were like, here's a video game for me. All I know is that
skaters got Tony Hawk.
Yeah, they had games. All I know is that hundreds of parties I went to in my youth were ruined by some wiener being like, let's play Guitar Hero. Then everyone gathered around and I was like, I hate this. And they were like, do you want to play? And I'm like, no, I'm bad at it.
Yeah.
And then I had to play anyway. And I was like, I want to go find the dog and harass it.
Jackson's a different type of wiener at this party.
Yeah.
Jackson's the type of wiener that is bullied by the wieners and then goes and hangs out with just the dog.
Harasses the dog.
Someone that goes looking for the dog and only hangs out with the dog is the biggest wiener at the party, especially at a wiener party.
Yeah. And they were all wiener parties, dude. They were all wiener parties. I'm here to tell you.
Well, unfortunately, the wiener party continued with 2008 as Rock Band was the most successful game of that year for the PS3, Xbox 360, the Wii, and the PS2. Once again, something that I avoided like the plague. Yeah. A game franchise is just not for me. Game style or just,
I'm not into it.
Like Guitar Hero, but only the guitars. Every other instrument, the moment they added more instruments, I was like, wow, this sucks.
Rock Band became the focus of parties I went to, in that people would be like, let's go over to my place and play Rock Band. So
as a
I have a passionate dislike of both of these games, and it only got worse.
Yeah, so, well, the Rock Band thing is zero worse thumbs for you, I guess, because by the time Rock Band rolled around, you probably weren't getting invited to these parties, because they were like, well, Jackson won't play the drums, bass, or guitar, or sing. Yeah. He'll just harass my dog until it pisses on the floor or something. I'm not going to invite him to my house.
Yeah, I don't like that he angers my dog and makes it fear him. I don't think he's a very good person.
Jackson back home going, good, I don't want to come.
Sweet! I'll miss harassing the dog, that's for sure. But at least I won't have to play goddamn Guitar Hero.
But the best thing about harassing a dog is you can do that at any time.
Yeah.
All you need is a dog.
You can hone your senses and just, like, when you weren't getting invited to parties, just Google pictures of dogs and yell at them.
I thought you were going to say you can hone your senses and do it psychically. Like, they're all playing Guitar Hero and the dog's just like, they're like, how's he getting to my dog from home? And I'm just sitting there, Professor Xing, fingers on my temples.
I hate you, dog!
I hate you, dog! I'm going to eat all the chicken nuggets and I'm going to act like you get one, but then I'm going to eat it. Eat shit, hound. All right, and then from 09 to 2012, Zama, what happened? Rock Band Kids lost the title of video game lord. And
yeah, I don't know what happened here. We've got like, we've got the jocks being like, well, I guess we're going to put down the console and actually just go and play football.
Yeah,
I can't imagine anyone who was good at Rock Band or Guitar Hero picked up an actual guitar.
Yeah,
no.
But for some reason, I guess everyone got their faces smashed with Call of Duty.
Yeah,
every single one. So we've got Call of Duty, Black Ops, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3, Call of Duty, Black Ops 2. Can you tell the difference between any Call of Duty? No,
it's
I can't.
Crazy. These are the things I remember. In Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, they had a level where you mowed down people at an airport.
No,
and people
Russian
were like, that's a little controversial. A little? That's insane. I mean, it was like the innocent era of 2009, but like, oh my God. What?
Yeah, so Jackson,
that's like they're like, hey, it's a new Call of Duty where you murder a family slowly. And people are like, I don't know. Is that something our kids should be playing?
Jackson, No Russian is the name of that level. And so first of all, The goal is you're not meant to shoot the other people. Which, hey, look, let me just say by saying, I've never played this game and this is not in defense of it. So don't jump down my throat, just let me finish. First, the game's got the it's the first level of the game.
Yeah.
You can skip it, but why would you skip the first level of a game if you don't know what's coming? The goal is that you're not meant to shoot people at the airport. You're meant to just kind of, because you're a spy or undercover or something, and awful things are happening. You're not meant to shoot. Yeah. But you can. Why give people that option?
You can. And also, I think you can't stop it from happening.
Correct.
I've heard. Yeah. Like, you can't. So you're basically, you know, helping.
Hey, don't get me wrong. I've played this level and mowed down the civilians. I should probably make that clear. My friend was like, hey, there's a really upsetting level in Call of Duty. And he was like, yeah, I felt really disturbed when I played it. And I'm like, what is it? And he's like, here. And I just mowed down the civilians. And he was like, oh, I wish you wouldn't do that. Like, I don't know why I'm getting on my high horse about it. Because I found it very funny. But... Well,
because the first thing that I thought when you started that story was that your friend was going to be like, yeah, there's a really upsetting level in Modern Warfare 2. And you were going to be like, which one? And he was like, the first one. And you're like, ah, oh, yeah, I didn't even realize. Like, you're like halfway through the game. And you even...
Why was that upsetting? You mean the funny level you mowed down an airport? Yeah, that was cool. No, that's not what I said. Yeah, I did like it. But I appreciate now how absolutely messed up it is that was included in Call of Duty.
Yeah, so who knows why everyone loves these games. Not for me. But hey, in 2013, Grand Theft Auto 5 came out and just about blew everyone away.
Yeah.
It was for the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. And then it was released later on, almost as soon as the next-gen consoles came out. You have to buy it all again.
Hey, I got some great news about later this year when the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X and Xbox Series S.
Are we getting another Skyrim? Is Skyrim being ported? Is that what's happening? Is that what's going on?
GTA 5 is going to be available on those consoles again, available for... PlayStation 3, 4, and 5 will all be able to play GTA 5. That's crazy.
And it's so crazy because, I recall the trailer for GTA 5 for the PS4. Like, it was genuinely an upgrade. And you were like, wow. Like, even though I've bought it for the Xbox 360, clearly that's how the game is meant to be played. But if you watch the trailer for the PS5, there's no difference. It's the same game.
Yeah.
And yet, it doesn't have the same vibe as it did going from Xbox 360 to the Xbox. It's amazing.
So I remember playing this game and being absolutely, blown away by it. Like, my housemate at the time, he had it for the PlayStation, and I was just watching him play it, and it was a lot of fun to the point where I'm like, I'm going to go get it for my Xbox, because this is good. And there was heaps of times where we just, hung out at the house, and we would just play Grand Theft Auto 5 till, the wee hours of the morning. And it was a lot of fun just passing the controller around.
I think just as GTA San Andreas blew the collective genitals off humanity, I think GTA 5 did the same thing. It was another video games can be damned.
What shocked me was the when they were using thongs, or for other countries, flip-flops, or if you're from New Zealand, jandals.
Wow.
Being able to kind of watch the guy just, walk in thongs. And I was like, that's insane level of detail. I'm so impressed.
So, GTA 5, gamers didn't have genitals, arseholes, or nipples after this game came out. All gone clean off. But I just wanted to quickly
say... What happened to my taint? I do not know.
Primary and secondary sex characteristics destroyed.
Just while we're quickly talking about next generation consoles, as a thumb cramps boy, I just want to let everyone know that I think the generation that's about to be pushed onto us, the Xbox Series of consoles and the PS5 and et cetera, et cetera. I think this is going to be the point in time where the step up in generations just becomes baffling. And a bit of evidence of that is, here's a tweet from IGN yesterday about the Xbox Series S.
Okay. Oh, yes, yes. Same, this tweet. Yeah. Wow. So, geez, hit us up.
Zamet and listeners, brace yourself. So this is an announcement tweet. The Xbox Series S will not run Xbox One X enhanced versions of backwards compatible games, but will instead run the Xbox One S version of Xbox One and Xbox 360 titles.
What? How awesome is it, though, the way your brain just shuts down halfway through? Like, you actually can't...
What?
You can't...
Sorry.
Like, I've tried to pay attention throughout that whole sentence and, like, when reading it and hearing it multiple times, and you can't... It's impossible.
Is this... Okay, so it's not... You got
that's not a joke. That's not a funny prank. It.
This isn't you guys making fun of old man brain?
Nope. No. Not okay. at all. What? The Xbox Series X is not compatible with the Xbox X Series X standard games, but with the Xbox Series X box.
So, Zaman, I can translate this a little bit for what? You.
Zero thumbs. I'm biting my thumb off in protest.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's basically say, like, I can put it into PlayStation terms, which might make it a little easier.
Okay.
There's like a... Oh, no, I can't even do that.
All right, let's flee this confusing sentence. Joel Zammit, from 2014 to 2017, what happened again?
Well, everyone realized, like, oh, well, we liked, you know, look, we loved... Grand Theft Auto. We love our gun and drug, but you know what we love more? Gun and army? Because it's back to Call of Duty with Advanced Warfare for 2014, Black Ops the Third for 2015, Infinite Warfare. That's one war that just never ends. And then we have in 2007, hey, we're back to World War II.
Well, we looped
which
around.
Is lovely.
Wow.
Which is great, you know? 2014 for the Call of Duty Advanced Warfare has the added bonus of including renowned pedophile Kevin Spacey to the game.
That's great.
That makes me not want to play the game. I know that's kind of shocking, but looking at Kevin Spacey, a famous pedophile, upsets me.
Me, likewise. And I love a lot that Call of Duty was like, this will, because at the time, I guess, maybe they didn't know, they were like, this will make our game sell. Look, and now it's done the absolute
opposite.
We've
heard rumors. We all know what him and Bryan Singer did. Look, we have a lot of people saying a lot of things, but we're choosing to ignore it.
Yeah, absolutely. And now it's like, oh, there's all of the Call of Duties and the pedophile one. That's what you did when you employed Kevin Spacey to be a model and a voice actor. You ensured that there was a pedophile Call of Duty. So, good job.
But I will say that, unfortunately, it is on this list.
Yeah, it's on this list, meaning it is one of the greatest games of all time. Yeah, that is a shame.
It's definitely the most popular game that has a pedophile in it.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I don't know. Maybe that's not true. I don't know. I don't know all the games with pedophiles in them, sadly. No, not sadly. Happily. Gladly.
Very happily, actually.
Yeah,
now that I think about it.
Call of Duty's upset me because this is confusing. I don't know if that's the right or wrong statement, Jackson. All I know is that I hate Kevin Spacey.
Me too.
That's fair. Well, thankfully, we move away from pedophile games because in 2018 we get Red Dead Redemption 2,
horse game,
a game that God, they love horse. Well, actually, no, the game hates horse. Yes. The game hates horse murderer. But it's crazy because anytime you kill a horse, no matter what kind of incident, if you like putting it out of its misery, if the horse is coming after you, if maybe the horse you think is evil and you're defending yourself, you will automatically get evil points. That game thinks horses are angelic, which is honestly a sentiment that we here at this company share.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
What a game. Red Dead Redemption 2.
You know, Red Dead 2, they're like, this is a world where your choices matter. You know, you can pick to be the villain, the outlaw, white hat, black hat, whatever you want to do. But if I'm like, I want to be a guy who shoots horses in the head and laughs about it and thinks it's good, Rockstar were like, no, that's objectively bad. And if I'm like, no,
it's good.
My world of fantasy, Rockstar. And I'm a cowboy.
I want to be the good guy that keeps shooting horses in the head.
Let me immerse myself.
Much like how all humans are born equal, all horses are born equally evil, and Jackson the Outlaw is here to put all horses down.
That's I always get great pleasure just riding around shooting people's horses and not the people riding them. So that, you know, in my own mind, I can envision them climbing off their dead horse and being like, why did he do that? As I ride off into the sunset. That's that's my Western. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's my Wild West.
So that is the last game on this list, but I've done a bit of extra research.
There's one more game. I don't know if you've missed the 2019 classic, which is a bit of a change of pace for the games that have come before it, but it's Call of Duty, yet again, Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
So...
my mistake, because I'd gone onto a different article to get that exact same information. It beat out in second place was NBA 2K20.
Okay.
And in third place, Madden 2020.
I think, look, if anything in these particular, like, you know, it's a nice cross section, and you can really like extrapolate, you know, a lot about, I guess, the gaming populace of what it is that we think, and well, not even think, what we know is the best game of all time. Of any particular year. And I think there's one thing that we can all agree on is that we love gun.
Yeah.
We love drug.
Yes.
We love horse.
Yeah, we do.
And we love football.
Yeah. Yes.
These are the things that we love. Also ape. We love ape.
Yeah.
We love ape.
We love ape. Yeah.
It's an interesting, like, you know, turn. I think maybe as the gamers get a bit older, because when you look at, like, the start of the list, you know, we
all the way back to 1995.
Like, well, if you look back at 1995, it's kind of come full circle, because we love violence.
Yeah.
We love violence.
And then
for a while, we're like, oh, no, maybe we love Italians and ape.
Yeah.
Well, and then we've gone
both very violent at heart. Italians and apes share a hidden violence.
Every single game on this list involves some kind of violence. And I think that is the takeaway, isn't it? That what gamers love most of all is hurting one another. That's pretty powerful. Maybe they should ban video games. I don't know.
Right, and just before we go, 100 episodes into Thumb Cramps, I've finally set up a Thumb Cramps email address, so you can email us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com. The email address will be in the episode description. We're going to try and read one or two of your emails out every week, whether it be gaming-related questions, a review of your own, send us whatever, really. As long as it's video game-related and we can give it a thumb score, then hey, guess what? You're in the running for us to read it out on the show. And you can also follow us on our brand new Twitter account at ThumbCrampsPod, which I literally just set up now. And as you've probably realized, I recorded this part later than the rest of the episode, which is why Jackson and Zamet are suspiciously absent. But hopefully, without me pointing that out, this transition was flawless and you're currently sitting there being like, wow, well done, Joel Dusha. Not only have you set up an email address and a Twitter account to celebrate your 100th episode of Thumb Cramps, you've also edited this in flawlessly. Is there anything you can't do? And I'm here to tell you that no, there absolutely isn't anything I can't do. I'm the world's most powerful man. So this is going to be a flawless transition back into the episode. Hope you enjoyed. Thanks for listening to all 100 episodes back to back, I assume.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've also been Joel. And this has been 100 years of video games from 1995 to present, and 100 years of Thumb Cramps from 100 episodes ago to this one.
I cannot wait to find out which Call of Duty was the best game of 2020. Or maybe it was a Madden.
Yeah, maybe it'd be a Madden this year. Banned video games.
Hey, thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sanspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.